Hello, baddies. Welcome back to Tara's Baddies Club. I am your host, Tara Newell. And today's guest, I have my dear friend, Gabby Conti. I'm really excited because she was on my original podcast, Time Out with Tara. It was so fun. That was the start of our relationship. And I feel like our relationship has seen so many seasons. She's seen me with so many different guys. She's known my dating life, you know? So I'm so excited to have her on today. She has 20 guys you date in your 20s. She also did 30 guys you date in 3 days, I think, something like that. We'll talk more about that, actually, because that's how she met her husband at the end of that. And then she is also a podcaster, a producer. She has Bad Influencer Podcasts. So I'm so excited to have Gabby come on today. Let's get into this episode. Hi, Gabby. Thank you so much for joining me today. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself for the people that don't know you? I know you're a really good friend of mine and we've done so many things together now, but tell us who you are.
So a little about me. I am a author and a writer and a host. I wrote the book 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s, which is a guide to dating. Yeah, there it is right there. And it's based on roughly my 10,000 hours of dating in my 20s. And each chapter is about the different types of relationships you find yourself in anytime you're single. And it has stories and guides and charts and quizzes to help you navigate your way through that. After I wrote that book, I went on 30 dates in 3 days for Cosmopolitan. And I ended up marrying my 31st first date. So I am no longer dating, but I still do write about it for websites like Cosmopolitan and Betches. I've written for Pop Sugar, Hello Giggles, Elite Daily, a bunch of different websites. And I also podcast as well. I have a podcast called Am I Dating a Serial Killer with XG Productions that's on Audible the whole first season. And currently I am working with Emerald Audio, a female-driven podcast network. And I have the podcast Bad Influencer, which is a fiction podcast that I've written and co-created. And that is more like a TV show for your ears. So completely different from this type of style of podcasting. Although we do have interviews and behind the scenes footage on the feed as well.
Yes. Oh, and I met your team at Podcast Evolutions at the iHeart Party.
Yeah, that was so much fun. It was so great to see you as always. And yeah, I mean, definitely check out Emerald Audio. I really love them so much. It's co-created by Jane Green, who's a New York Times bestselling author. And it's such a great team of like just women and female-driven stories and narratives, which I love to listen to and I love to write. So yeah.
Yes, they were so cool and so nice to me. I just really enjoyed meeting everyone. And then I felt like I just love those little cups that they had, even though I don't drink.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
You know, those little cups that the champagne was in. And then I was like, Gabby, hey.
Yeah,
you took
the
cup. Yeah, I took your empty cup. Yes.
Yeah. I'm happy you took it. Yeah, those were really cute. That was a fun party.
Yes, I needed a souvenir. Yes, but let's talk about your podcast because I think it's really cool how you've had literally like Perez Hilton on and you've had all these influencers on. And it's so cool because you're like, oh, Dumois is like a huge thing that I think you introduced me to. Or was it because I was on there?
I might have. Well, okay. So Dumois and I like have somewhat of a friendship now, and it's because I was an early follower on it. So I think I was a follower when she was in like the thousands and now she's in the millions. And I might have told you about it. I don't know. But it was definitely like my lifestyle during pandemic. I was on that refreshing it all the time. But yeah, so Bad Influencer, it's scripted. So it's a show and it tells a story about this girl who dreams of being a famous influencer and she wakes up and is a famous influencer and she's caught in nonstop scandals. And so we have a cast that plays the main characters and those are all incredibly talented professional actors. And then we had cameos of actual real celebrities and influencers playing themselves. So Perez plays himself, Dumois plays herself, also Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules plays herself, and Christy Carlson Romano plays herself too. And that has been a really fun thing with the show because as a small network that a lot of people didn't know, having those names really helped us get listeners early on. And we're so grateful for those public figures for being a part of our project. And I think people really liked it because we actually ended up being the number one fiction podcast the week we came out. So I think they came for the influencers and they stayed for the story, which I'm so grateful for.
Yes. And it was really great. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely like a fun vibe.
Yeah. And it's a fun thing that you could have on in the background. Like I watch TV a lot when I'm like doing errands, but I'm missing the show because it's in the background. So it's nice that you can just like listen to it. And there's other great shows too on the network. There's another show called Rainbow Girl that's written by Jane Green. There is Key of Love. And then we just ended up merging with another network called Diversion. And they have an incredible 2 seasons of a show called The Royals of Malibu, which is kind of like a CW show set in Malibu with high school students, but also there's the adults too. So it's like very much like the OC or Gossip Girl in that style. And it's a really, really good show too. So if you're into fiction podcasts, definitely check them out.
I love that. I felt like my show was definitely a version of the OC.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like that. How yeah. Marissa like died by Wolf Check or whatever his name was. He was so Gadget. Yeah. He was so hot. He was the hot bad boy.
Yeah, I can't believe that show only had three seasons of the OC. I feel really? Like, but they hit a point like after. Yeah, there was only 3 seasons of the OC. I think they hit a point with when they ended up killing off Misha Barton, spoiler alert, that they like kind of ran out of steam because that was like, I think that was the last season. Yeah. So it was such a great show, but the same people made Gossip Girl. So.
Oh, that is true. That is true. And then they had a lot of the same characters in that show too.
Yeah. Like similar style characters. And then I always love My Roman Empire is the fact that Blair Waldorf ended up getting married to Seth Cohen in real life.
Oh my
because
gosh.
You have Leighton Meester and they're married in real life, but they were both on in 2 different universes in 2 different shows. And I love that.
Yes, that's so great. And then I feel like that was like a definite part of like our early, maybe not early 20s, but like definitely like a part that transitioned into our early 20s. And then speaking of that, like your book about the 20 guys you date in your 20s.
Whoa, look at that transition. Oh. Look at this pro over here.
It must be because I have on a good yeah. friend that I love.
Aw, you're so sweet. Yeah, so that's my book, 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s. A very early draft of that was a diary. I kept a diary throughout since high school where I would write about all my relationships and what I was going through. And I had like printed out AOL instant message conversations in there, like love letters, photo booth shots, all that stuff. Was a serial monogamist for years. And I had a really awful breakup in my early 20s and dating apps had came out right around then. And so I went from a serial monogamist into a serial dater after that heartbreak. And I started writing the very first draft that would later become 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s. And it was kind of like, as I was dating, as I was also contributing to various websites covering dating, as I was experiencing all of these things, I started writing things down and kind of writing the book for my younger self, a book that I wish I had when I was in my 20s or, you know, when I started dating, because I'm an only child. I didn't have a big sister or anyone giving me advice telling me, oh, avoid this type of guy or avoid this type of relationship. And so that's kind of how that book came to be. So each chapter has a story about my experience in that type of relationship. And the types of relationships are things that, you know, it's not saying don't date these guys or don't be in this relationship. It's more about obstacles that we face anytime we're dating. So things like, oh, someone who's older, someone who's younger, someone who's hotter, someone who's cooler. But then of course, it would be irresponsible of me not to include the guy who's toxic. Because I didn't understand what toxic relationships were when I was dating. And I didn't know what those really red flags that are not beige flags, these are red flags, like run, were. And so I made a decision actually later in the writing process to include a chapter of me being in a very emotionally abusive and ended up being a little physically abusive relationship. So I felt I had to write that. But the book itself, each chapter has charts and quizzes and then tells a story. And then I sent the story to all of the guys I dated, with the exception of the toxic guy, obviously. And they got to weigh in. And then there's also advice from like experts who know the situation, as well as successful couples. So a couple where someone's older or younger, obviously, again, did not interview a couple. Like, how do you guys make your toxic relationship work? Didn't do that. So yeah, that is the book in a nutshell.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I think that it's great that you included the toxic relationship in there because so many women go through the toxic relationship. It may not be to a certain magnitude, you know, like not to Dirty John and not even like sometimes your level of it. But I think that there are, you know, narcissistic ways in relationships or can be tendencies and you need to look out for if your partner is doing that or if that partner is doing it from the beginning because those are red flags in a sense. And, you know, with every relationship, it's like the ebbs and flows. So it's great that you had like healthy, like interesting examples in there. And I just think back to the foot fetish.
That's another chapter, the guy with the fetish, because that is something I experienced in my late 20s that I had never really dated someone that was, I mean, I'm sure I dated people that had fetishes, but I never dated someone who I found out very early on into dating that they had a foot fetish and that it was a big part of their love life.
Yeah. And you know, I, because I'm recently single, I'm trying to think of all the men that I would like date. And then it's like thinking back to your book, but I'm like, we're also not in our 20s anymore, Gabby.
No, we're not. But I mean, I think that was the one thing, because even though I dated these guys in my 20s, I wrote the book in my early 30s. So I do think that I almost wish that the book was called People You Date When You're Single, because that's really what it is. Even though my stories are coming from being a straight girl in my 20s, I do think that these are timeless. And I do think they, you know, any age you're at, this is what it's like out there, I think.
Yes, yes. Well, I would like think about like what, you know, going back to your book, like what I would accept and what I wouldn't, you know, toxic guy, heck no, not that. Mm-hmm. But foot fetish guy, I'm like, ooh, fancy shoes. Foot rubs, maybe.
Yeah, might pay for your pedicures. Who knows? But then there's also things too, like good on paper. There's like the guy who's good on paper in your 20s. Yeah. That's boring. That's safe. You want something that's more exciting. In your 30s, maybe that is what you really want. You want someone who is good on paper, but there also is like the chemistry too, because, you know, you're so sick of dating these people that, you know, don't measure up. And here's someone who treats you well. It's like everything you could want.
Yeah. No, you know, the good on paper too. I think it's also like, did you ever do a list of what you wanted in your person?
Yes, I've done it twice and I've written it in my diary, which is so funny. So I wrote it right before I was like 29. So when I was 29 and I was right before it was, I remember it. I wrote this in my book. I had a really bad breakup the Christmas before I turned 30, right? And so like New Year, I wrote down like 6 qualities that I wanted in my next partner. And the New Year came and I did like this whole like, you know, detox, like, you know, mental, physical, everything. And I was like feeling really good. And I was going on dates, but I was like being more selective about who I was going on dates with. And I started dating this guy and I thought he was everything on that list. Turns out that was how he presented himself in the beginning. And the true person was not none of that on the list. And so after that relationship ended up being like a 2-year relationship, we were living together, everything, and we broke up when I was 31. And so then I completely flipped it and was like, okay, I need to start really looking at that and really being like honest. And then after I manifested that new list, that was when I met my husband.
I got out of the shower as I was cleaning off the mirror and I saw fingers pushing through my window.
He looked very demonic and he said in like a really scruffy voice, he said, "Hey."
I headed up that way and my dog barked and I looked over and he was probably 20 feet away from me walking straight towards me.
He used her phone after he had killed her to add me on Facebook.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Deptula. We're the hosts of Strictly Stalking, bringing you heroic stories of those who have survived at the hands of a stalker.
To hear these stories and more, listen to Strictly Stalking wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you change things from your old list? Like, what were some of the new things that you added?
I think, well, like, the new things was, I think it was actually the same, but they were more like specific. Like one of the things was passion. And like that was like having a passion for life, your own life, having a passion outside of your job, having passion together. And I think with my ex, there was like the passion together, but it wasn't healthy passion. And there wasn't a passion with his job. And the things that he was passionate about in life were not the same things I was passionate about. And when I met my husband, one of the things I really loved about him on our first date is he had this like boring job, but he had this side hustle that he was so passionate about that is now his full-time job. And so that was something that I was like, okay, that's what I mean by passion. It's like, it has to be something that like drives you. And with my ex, there was really not much driving him. And that was a big like bummer in the relationship. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And talk about his side hustle, Darren's side hustle, because I think it's really cool too.
Yeah. So if you are in the LA area or visiting LA, my husband has a company called Hollywood Classic Cars. They're on Turo. And so basically you can drive around and rent a classic car. You can use it for photo shoots. You can use it for weddings. You could use it if you're just visiting LA and you always wanted to feel like you were an entourage driving in a convertible down Sunset Boulevard. Like any of those dreams can come true. And yeah, he started it over the pandemic. It was always a side hustle with like one or two cars, but he built his fleet up and now has like employees and he's now expanding to a bigger space, which is really exciting.
I love that. Do you guys ever just take the car out for, all the cars out? You're just like, what car am I going to go on a date tonight?
Yeah, we do. I was doing a series on my Instagram. There's still some there called Cars and Carbs, where we would take a car and I would explain he told me the car was, like explain the car a little bit. And then we would go to a restaurant and have dinner. And I haven't done that in a while. But yeah, I kind of am like, I'm not really an outdoor kid. And so for me, like I would prefer to be in not a classic car when I'm driving around Los Angeles, but it is fun for special occasions.
Yeah. Well, it's been a little rainy lately in LA.
That's what I mean. Like rainy and like, yeah, you know, like sometimes you're just like, oh, I just want to get to my destination, you know?
Yes. And then like please tell us the story about how you met him, because I think that's really cool too.
Okay. So after the breakup with the guy that I had moved to New York for this guy that I thought was the person I was going to spend the rest of my life with. I was living in New York and very quickly I started seeing all the red flags. And I started realizing that this person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, I didn't even know if we would spend the rest of our lease together. And it became very obvious that this was not the right relationship for me. But I had a really hard time getting out of it. Finally got out of it, moved back in with my parents in Connecticut who had just lost their house. So I was dealing with that. And then finally found my way back in Los Angeles on Valentine's Day, was dating, but like really wasn't great at dating. It's really hard when you're getting out of a long-term relationship to like put yourself back out there. So I started doing a thing on my Instagram called Daily Date, where I would, to hold myself accountable and to actually go on these dates, I would record myself before and after the date saying like, okay, this is, and then my followers would like give me advice, like, which was amazing. People would be like, oh, this guy sounds great. Or like, oh no, what are you doing, Gabby? Like, don't give this guy a second date. And so I was doing that and I had started to contribute to Cosmopolitan. My editor saw it and she was like, can we make this an article? And I'm like, yeah, 30 dates in 30 days. And she goes, oh, no, that's been done. Can you do 30 dates in 3 days? And I started to do the math of it. And I was like, I guess like 10 dates a day. And so I was on every dating app that would have me. And by like, I was supposed to start my dates on like a Friday. And by Wednesday, I only had like 15 dates lined up. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, is there any way I could make like half of these dates like setups? And she's like, sure. So I ended up, I had 30 dates planned. I went on the dates. Of course, because it's Los Angeles, some of the dates ended up not happening, like they flaked, whatever. But I had 30 dates scheduled. I think it only ended up being like 25 dates that I actually went on for real. And then after that, I got really good at like making dating apps work, which I think a lot of people fall into this point with their dating apps where they're just pen pals and they never actually meet in person. And because I had this like deadline, I had to go on these dates. So doing things that maybe I used to not be really comfortable doing, which is kind of being like, okay, are we going on this date or not? And also if the guy was like, you know, wishy-washy, I would move on to the next, which I think sometimes in the past I would hold on to maybes. I would hold on to like the possibility of it. And so after I had done that, after I went on a couple of second dates with the guys that I had dated, whatever, I had quit dating apps for a while. I was just focusing on myself. I was like so happy with my life. I felt like my life was so full and so complete that I just didn't need anything that didn't add value to my life. And I got back on the dating apps and I matched with this guy and we went to go get drinks. And it was really quick from like dating app to date. We went to go get drinks. And after like the first round, I was going to leave because he wasn't asking me any questions about myself. And so I had the guts to say to him, well, if you don't start asking me questions about myself, date is over. I'm going to the bathroom. When I come back, if, you know, if there's not a change, like I'm done. And so I went to the bathroom, I came back and it was kind of like the ice had broken. And he was like, I am so sorry. Like I am on 2 hours of sleep. I was going to cancel, but I didn't want to cancel because I was excited to meet you. And I thought if we canceled, we'd never meet. And so it kind of was like a great way that like, it was like the date got like a restart. And we ended up having one of those dates that like just never ended. And we've literally been dating since. So I joke, I always say that he's my 31st first date because technically like after the 30 dates, he was the first date I went on. And so, yeah, I joke that he was my 31st first date. And yeah, we got married in October of 2021 and we're still together. We have a cat. It's great.
We have a cat named Owen.
We have a cat named Owen who I'm like, who's being like suspiciously quiet. I think he's sleeping under the bed. So I was like, I'm not going to get him because I don't want him to be bothering us.
And he's not like causing ruckus, right? Or are you worried that he's quiet?
Well, no, he sometimes like he does. He feels like he's my where I'm talking to you right now is where I do all my writing. And I think he thinks he's my writing partner. So when I'm here from on meetings or calls, he likes to make cameos. He likes to make an appearance. This time is usually during his nap time. So I'm pretty sure he's sleeping under the bed right now.
I love it. That's so funny. Oh, yeah. I love him. And you do such like cute, like when I get your family photos, you know, for your cards and stuff, he's always in them. I love
it. He is. Yeah. Yeah. 2 years in a row. We got him 2 years ago. And so, yeah, we always include him in our holiday card. And I'm sure my family wishes that there was a baby in the photo. But nope, for now, there's a cat. So deal with it.
Do you feel like family put unreasonable amount of pressure on having children, like once you get married?
I think it's family. It's a combination of family. And it's also a combination of social media and it's a combination of friends. I feel like it's a little bit of both. So I feel like, yes, my parents have said that to me. I feel like we get less pressure from my husband's parents because he has a brother who has two kids. So like, it's kind of like, they're like, oh, we're already grandkids. Like if you have a kid, great, but like whatever. And with my parents, like we actually had a conversation about it last year. For me, I'm actually about to write an article about this. I kind of am in a situation where I don't see how logically right now I could have a child because both of my parents they're okay, but they've had a lot of health issues in the last year, which has required me to go back and forth. And I just can't imagine like dealing with that and having a kid. Like, how can I take care of a baby if I'm taking care of my parents, technically? And so that's something that I'm thinking of exploring. But then I also feel the pressure that I put on myself when I scroll through social media and I see that people who have gotten married after us are pregnant, you know, and it's just kind of like, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm missing out. There's like a FOMO feeling to it. Like I should be also starting a family. And then you get pressure from people that don't even know you, like the cashier at Trader Joe's, who's asking me like, my dad's Trader Joe's. He's like, oh yeah, you got married. Do you have any kids? You want kids, don't you? You definitely want kids. So I feel like it's a combination of all of that. And I'm kind of in a place right now where I'm like thinking about it, but I'm not, I don't know. I feel like also you have to really want to have a kid to have a kid. And I have never been someone who's like, I need a kid. I've been more like, I need a cat. So I don't know. That could change.
Yeah. And I think that with where, like, just, you know, the industry that we're in, everything, it's a lot. So you have to, I feel like most people in our industry have kids when they're in their 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I mean, when growing up, I idolized Tina Fey and she had a kid when she was in her 40s. So like, yeah, kind of make, and she also hit it big in her 40s. So yeah, it makes, I would like my career to be in like, I feel like it's good, but I'd like my career to be in a little bit of a better place because you do end up having to take off time. And as a freelancer, there's no maternity leave. And I feel like I've been working towards this momentum. I would hate to like not continue it by being a mom for, you know, but I don't know. Things could change, you know?
Yeah. You know, life is interesting and you never know where it takes you. Like this year, I thought I was like, oh, I'm going to be on my way to have kids. But, you know, life changes and there's different things that happen. But does it mean like, totally. Hey, that can't happen in like, well, hopefully not 10 years for me, because like I want that a bit sooner. But that's just my personal goal, you know. But, you know, 5 years, 6 years, cool.
And never, and also never say never. And also, you know, having kids can look different. Like there's so many other options now, you know, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes marriage doesn't have to come before kids, you know, which I think growing up, we thought that that was the path. Yeah. You see a lot of women kind of taking initiative on their own, or even things like freezing their eggs. Like there's just so many different options that motherhood looks a lot different to our generation than it did to our parents' generation, for sure.
Right? Like we have so many options now. There,
yeah.
We, like, I mean, there are people that, you know, don't have any options because they go through it and then, you know, they can't get eggs and stuff. But hey, there's adoption, and don't be closed off to that, because adopting is an amazing thing, allowing someone to be a part of your life that you're like, hey, I chose you as a daughter or a son, opposed to, hey, I just had you and I had to keep you.
Right. Well, and then that, I mean, it's kind of like, and not to like, it's the, you know, like having, like I adopted my cat and that worked out, you know, like,
yeah,
you don't know. I mean, I know it's so different to compare. I can't compare a cat to like a baby human, but yeah, I mean, who knows? So
I just don't know about that one, but I appreciate
that one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great one, you know,
although I mean, I think I gave birth to my cat. I clearly didn't, but I think I did, you know.
In your mind, you did.
In my mind, I did. So there we go.
You know, in my mind, I probably birthed Dixon too.
9 months in my belly.
Like he's my child.
Yeah. He's my child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when I, well, there's like 2 months. I feel like with animals, it's like 2 months or something around that. Don't quote me because I'm not a vet in any areas. But I feel like it's 2 months that they're like, or maybe it's 6 months. I don't know. Don't quote me on animal birthing. And now this is going.
Oh, yeah. How long? Yeah, I don't know how long. Yeah, how I know we're talking.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, back to dating.
Sure.
What are some tips that you recommend, like going on dates? You know, dealing with the dating apps. Like, I'm not a fan of dating apps because I meet people very organically. But what do you recommend, like, people do, like, how to get that date or to get that person on the app?
So I think the biggest trick with dating apps is that you have to treat them seriously. You have to really be thinking when you're, like, swiping, is this someone that I want to go on a date with? But also, I think you have to realize that if you are a straight woman who's trying to date a straight man, most straight men have no idea how to take a flattering photo of themselves. And if they do, that's a red flag.
Be aware. Or
could be a red flag. Be aware. So I think, like, you know, I think be a little bit more open-minded. And like, if you see something that you find cute about the guy, but maybe the pictures aren't perfect, like let that, like, you know, the best way to find out is to meet in person. Because you really, you cannot have a relationship with someone that's just online. You have to eventually meet. So I would say, you know, and I think a great way too is like to go on those dates. And also if you're talking to someone for more than a week or two and there is no plan to meet, like that person is wasting your time. Like, thank you, next. Like, find someone who's going to take you out on a date, who wants to go out on a date. So I think being selective, but also being open-minded when it comes to using dating apps is really key. There's actually a really great app that I've never used because I've been married since it came out. But I think the concept behind it's incredible. And they were actually a sponsor of that influencer. And that's called First Rounds on Me. And they try to mimic what an in-person connection is. So there's no pen pals on the app. Basically, you swipe through. And if you see someone that you're interested in, you send them an invite or you tell them to invite you to go on a date. And you pick a time and place to get drinks, and it doesn't have to be alcohol, it could be coffee, whatever. And you meet in person, and you can't, you know, you're not allowed to start talking to that person on the app until 12 hours before the date. So it's supposed to mimic that in-person connection. And I also like another hack too, is like first dates that are dinners and stuff like that. I feel like that's also not great because sometimes people put so much pressure on that. And I think a first date should really be more of like a meeting and making sure you vibe when you're meeting online. So a first date being like a drinks or a coffee or a walk or something like that. And also trying to think that you're only committing to an hour. I think a lot of people don't want to go on dates because they think it's going to be their whole night or their whole day. So I think, if you really don't owe a stranger more than an hour. So I think either if you want to be upfront and tell them you're doing that, or that's your own policy that after an hour, if you're not having a good time, you can leave. There's no pressure. I think that's also really helpful as well.
Yeah, I love that so much. Now, where can we find your book, your podcast, and everything? And then I'm also going to ask you a few questions for Patreon after, so stick around, guys.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Okay, so you can find my book, 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s. You can read it or you can listen to it. I suggest a hard copy because it's a fun thing to like keep on your coffee table and flip through and do it with friends. So you can get that wherever you buy books. Also, my website, gabiconti.com, GABICONTI.com, has a link of all the options of where you can buy and listen to my book. It's also available in French now. So if you speak French or you're listening to us from France, you could buy my book in French. And then my podcast, Bad Influencer, is available wherever you listen to podcasts. There's also a link on my website or on my Instagram. My Instagram is It's Gabby Conti, ItsGabiConti. And that also has links to everything I'm mentioning here. So I think that's it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. I'm like, am I missing anything? Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Gabby. And we will stick around for the Patreon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode with Gabby Conti. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us 5 stars, a good rating, and a good review. It helps grow the podcast in so many ways. And if you are enjoying the podcast, have a few friends that you want to listen to it, please share. Please spread the word. That really just helps us overall, helps me get the word out there, helps connect to more women, and I feel like I need more women friends, so please just spread the word. And if you guys need an extra kick in your healing journey, I have my 30-day trauma journal. You can check it out on my website, Tara Newell Survival. And until next time, I'm Tara Newell.